Pastor Mojo Yemade is the senior pastor and founder of the Covenant Nation, TCN, a ministry founded in 1994 and headquartered in Lagos, Nigeria. Pastor Mojo is a renowned teacher of the Word of Faith and has played a vital role in transforming Christian ministry in Nigeria and globally. Pastor Mojo's ministry emphasizes faith, leadership, entrepreneurship, and personal development, and he has been defined as a unifying link between Christians across generations, between entrepreneurs and professionals in business, as well as between the government and the governed. Pastor Boju is the convener of three major events annually: the World Faith Believers Convention, WOFBEC, the Platform Nigeria, and the International Conference for Pastors, Ministers, Leaders, and Workers, ICPLMW. Pastor Boju is happily married to Pastor Toyin, who is also a dynamic teacher of the word, filmmaker, and content creator. With Jesus' joy and a standing ovation, RCG The Oasis warmly welcomes, for the very first time, Pastor Mojo Oyemade to The Oasis International.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's just say a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the evident presence of your spirit in this house. We thank you that he's here to glorify Jesus Christ. I ask by the power of that same spirit to grant utterance, that I speak as your oracle, that your word goes forth in simplicity, with accuracy, unhindered by any demonic force, interpreting the vision of the set man of this house accurately, and grace being ministered to our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may all be seated. That was extremely creative. Extremely creative. All right, I'd like to thank Pastor Nathaniel for the invitation. I can't say no to him. It's just impossible to say no, all right? Because he has a deep heart for the kingdom of God. And no matter what I've asked him to do, he has always been very gracious. So I want to thank you for the invitation to speak to the people. Amen. All right, this evening I will speak on three major aspects of faith as we look at moving from glory to glory. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to verse 16, I'll read from King James Version, and then when I want other translations, I'll call. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." Now, note that word, make a mental note of the word infirmities. "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Then it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Now, just for one purpose, I'll read on. Now, you know the New Testament were letters, so they weren't written in chapter and verses. But the people who compiled it felt it might be better to put it in chapter and verses for people to comprehend. But sometimes you read it on as a letter, all right, to get a meaning there. So the next verse, which is chapter 5, verse 1, is a continuation. It says, "For every high priest is taken from among men and is ordained for many things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifice for sin." Now, here's the point I want to see. "Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For he himself also is compassed with infirmity." So the infirmity he was referring to earlier on was ignorance. All right? I just want to note that as we go on. Now, Hebrews 4:14, let's start from there. It says, "Seeing then we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, Let us hold fast our profession. Now, the word profession is used here, and it was used intentionally. Now, it was trying to describe something. If you meet somebody and you ask the person, what's your profession? Your person will say, well, I'm a nurse, or I'm a lawyer, or I'm a fashion designer. In other words, when I ask for your profession, I'm asking for your means of livelihood. I'm asking for how do you live on this earth? How do you support yourself and maybe people that are around you? What really is your identity? I say, what's your profession? Now, the writer of Hebrews calls this our profession. Because the just shall live by what? Faith. In other words, that's how we derive our livelihood in God. But that word profession, they actually means confession, which is saying the same thing as God. In other words, we derive our livelihood here by saying the same thing as God. Now, follow this here. It comes from a root Greek word, which is homo, and then legio, which is same as. So you are saying the same thing as God. Now, understand this as a first principle. God speaks to you so that you may speak. He doesn't speak so that you may write or memorize. He speaks that you may do what? Speak. You're right so you know what to speak. Whatever is written that you may speak it forth into your life. Let me give a scripture. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 tells us. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Look at what the next verse says. So that we may boldly say. In other words, he has said, so you may say. He didn't say, so you may memorize. He says that you may do what? Boldly say. In other words, he has said certain things so that in the face of certain situations, you can say certain things. Now, we must understand that death and life are in the power of our what? Tongue. And let me say this here, and I'll show it in scripture. God can do all things. He is all powerful. But God is limited in your own life to doing the things that you have authorized him with your words. You can incapacitate the move of God in your life through the words you speak. You can liberate the spirit to do massive things through the words that you speak. The Bible says, enlarge your tent, is with your words. Lengthen your cords, it's with your words. In other words, you start speaking out things that he has said unto you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, this is what the confession means. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Put New King James, it uses confession. All right, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So anything God promises, make it your what? Confession. If you read in the Bible, with long life will it satisfy you and show you his salvation, start saying it today. The Lord will satisfy me with long life and he will show me his what? Salvation. If he says that you are healed by the stripes of Jesus, start saying it today. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, I am healed. If he tells you that I've given you my spirit, so that you might know things that are to come. He will show you things that are to come. Start saying it. I have no surprises in life. Anything that will come into my life, I will know ahead of time. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because Jesus said, before the rain comes, you see the cloud. He says, before heat comes, there's a wind that blows. He said, if you can discern the face of the sky, can't you discern the time? What Jesus is saying, nothing happens without a sign first. So you say it by the Spirit of God within yourself, that by the Holy Ghost, I know things ahead of time. That nothing comes to me, and you are making this declaration. Now, I'm sure this here. Because once you start making these declarations, you are activating something, all right, on the inside of you. You declare that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Now, let's take one confession and you will see how it will be to you. Put up 2 Corinthians 9:8, amplified version, all right? Now, people may be saying several things, all right? Okay. Now, several things about this. Now, this should be your own confession. Now, let's do it. 1, 2, go. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to me, so that I may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything. Being completely sufficient in Him and have an abundance for every work and act of charity. Now, if you have the Amplified Classified, all right, the second Amplified, all right, now, make this declaration, all right? 1, 2, go. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to me in abundance, so that I may always, under all circumstances, and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Now, you see what that does when you speak it out. All right? So he says, hold fast saying the same thing as God. Now, your words, I want to say this here. Your words, what you speak, and that's why God wants us to speak. You know, a friend of mine, Reverend Mark Hankins, he calls it mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. You know when somebody that says, the person is drowning, and they call the person, and gives mouth-to-mouth. He said, when a person's life is going south, things are not working, God calls for mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He said, I have put my words on your lips. In other words, from my mouth to your mouth, my mouth to your mouth, life starts coming back. Are you following what I'm saying here? You start speaking. You saw what those words did to you. As you spoke, joy came. So it's mouth to mouth, mouth to mouth. Life is coming back. Listen, when the Bible says, and God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul, the Hebrew sages in the original Hebrew read it this way. And God breathed into man, and man became another speaking spirit like God. The sign of life is you are speaking. If a child is born, how do you know the child is alive? The child cries. Listen, life comes in you, it affects the sound that comes out of you. So it's important that we understand this. All right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let me just show you here how words can limit the power of God from operating in our lives here. If we go to the book of Numbers chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Look, and don't wait for any special revelation. Anything you read in the Bible that speaks to you, say it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You don't need Rema for this one. You read it, say it. Are you understand what I'm saying here? You read it, you say it. You understand this? Yeah. All right? Anything you read about the name of Jesus, say it. In the name of Jesus, I lay my hands upon the sick, they recover. Say it. Now, Numbers chapter 14 here. Now, we know about the story, 12 spies were sent. 10 came back with what they call an evil report. And then, based on that, the children of Israel began to murmur against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Woe to God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or woe to God that we had died in the wilderness. Next verse, it says, all right? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Why not better for us to return back to Egypt? Now, because of time, let's go to verse 19. Now, what happened was that God then told Moses that, Moses, all right, I'm going to destroy these people and I will raise another nation and you will lead those ones into the promised land. And just to show the heart of Moses, God comes to meet you with that kind of offer. Moses said, God, you know, we'll jump at it. Say, thank you, Lord. It's my nation, Abi. He said, God, no, I don't think we should do it this way. To show how meek Moses was. And he asked God, pardon. I beseech thee the iniquity of these people. According to the greatness of your mercy, as thou hast forgiven these people from Egypt up until now. All right? Next verse. It says, and the Lord said, I have what? Pardoned. So God had forgiven the people. So this wasn't the judgment of God from now on. Because God said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Now verse 26 tells us what God now said. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard their murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. He said, say unto them, this is the issue, as truly as I live, whatsoever, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so shall I do unto you. There is a law that it is what you say that God has authority to do in your life. This is why when he came to Zechariah and said, look, you're going to have a son. And Zechariah started talking negative. God said, listen, we won't be able to do anything with his name. Close his mouth. In other words, you can shut what God wants to do down from your own life. Now, you can't shut him completely because if you hold your peace, the enlargement and deliverance will come from somewhere else. In other words, if a person refuses to speak, God says, fine, I'll go and look for somebody else to do it. All right? I'm looking for where there's the enlargement. I'm looking for the person who is speaking kingdom words, who is speaking possibilities, who is saying on the air that sound is coming out. While they are in their room, they are speaking about the great things that God will do through them. When they have nothing, no support structure, but they have a voice. Are you following what I'm saying here? That they are speaking it up and down. Nobody knows what they are saying. They shut the door and make it the declaration. God says, I can walk through this person. I can walk through this person. Right? So he says, as they've spoken in my ears, so shall I do unto them. Now look at the next verse. It now goes on. Your carcass shall fall in the wilderness, because that's what they said. All right? According to the whole number of you, from 20 years upwards to the moment against me. Verse 13. Now, hear this statement. Doubtless, God said this. Doubtless, which means without a shadow of doubt, you shall not come into the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell. God said, I swore to make you dwell. But without a shadow of doubt, you will not enter what I swore. Wait. You must understand what God is saying here. All right? And that's why death and life are in the power of the tongue. When you swear, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 16, that when God came to meet Abraham and gave him the promise, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for men to lie, he gave him an oath. It wasn't that what God said was not enough, that he needed an oath. This is what was happening. If there are two villages, this is the understanding here. So there's village A, and village A is very good. They have very good land, and they're excellent farmers. And they have a bumper harvest every year. Then you have village B, their land is terrible, but they are warriors. So then there's village C, that what they do is that anytime village A gets a bumper harvest, because the men there are not skilled in war, they go there and take their harvest and all of that. So village A says, we have strength in our land, but we have weakness in warfare. So they go and meet village B. Since you guys are great warriors, you know what? We will feed you forever.
so long as you will give us cover and protection. In other words, announce to everybody that whoever attacks us is attacking you. All right? So the fear of your mighty army will keep them away from attacking us. And then they come into an agreement that we will feed you forever while you protect us forever. Is that the agreement? They say, yes. Ah. Then somebody gets up and says, what if we feed them for 6 years and nobody attacks us? And then on the seventh year, they attack us and they don't show up for us. How are we sure they will back us after we have fed them? That we are not sure. So when God spoke to Abraham, God knew that Abraham had some doubts inside his heart. He said, let me settle the doubt so you know what it means when I promise you something. Now, the Bible says, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is the end of all strife. So village A and village B will go to go and meet a God that is greater than them. And they will swear by that God that if I don't feed you, may this God destroy me. And this other one swears, if I don't protect you when they come, may this God destroy me. So there's guarantee that it's not even based on just your character. There's an oath that binds you. It's like a man saying, I will give you 500,000 and you are not sure. He said, okay, call your lawyer. Call your lawyer. I swear by the house that I have. Sign a contract. If I don't give you 500,000 by Wednesday, this house I'm living in belongs to you. You know that there is an oath that backs it, that he has more to lose by not fulfilling his promise. The Bible says, because God looked around and said, there's nothing greater than I can swear. I swear by myself. Listen to what I'm saying here. That Abraham, this thing I've told you, if I don't do it, I cease to be God that day. That is the oath behind every promise of God. There is an oath. But he said, I gave you that oath, but without a shadow of doubt, what I swore to happen, you will not see it. He said, why? Because of the words you are speaking. So he goes on. He says, doubtless you shall not come into the land, which I swore to make you dwell in, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. And then he now told them in verse 34. He said this, verse 34. He said, he then went on and said, all right, 14:34. He now went on, he talked about, you will know. And after the number of days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities for 40 years. And you shall know my breach of promise. Can you hear what God said? He said, you will know what it is for me to break my promise. That's why whatever happens, hold fast your confession. Are you following what I'm saying here? Make your declaration, which means it's something you are declaring. Now, Jesus says this next. He says, I know what it means. When you are making this declaration, you just made 2 Corinthians, God will cause all grace to abound towards me, me having no aid support, and then you look at the price of fuel and say, what I used to fill tank with. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which is now quarter tank. He says, look at this. He says, you wanted to go into a project. It was valued in dollars. And you had naira, and the thing crashed. He says, look, put Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. He says this. Hebrews 4, 15. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the what? Feelings of our infirmities. He says, what at all points tempted like we are. Which means, he says, I know what it is to be under temptation. I know what it is to confess that you are healed by the stripes of Jesus from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And to feel something in your body and go to the doctor. And the doctor looks and says, we are sorry, you have just 6 months left. He said, I know what it is for the color of the room that was blue after you hear that to look gray. He says, I know what it is. He says, I'm touched by that. Paul said, this faith thing we are saying, it doesn't mean that there are no feelings in it. He said, we are persecuted, but not cast down. He talked about the fact that we are in despair. He says, look, things happen. He says, we are cast down, but not forsaken. Put 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 9. All right, you are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He said, look, we are cast down. There are things that happen that everything just sinks. And you know you are cast down. He says we are persecuted, but somehow you are not forsaken. You know, when we started church ministry, and I was doing ministry on campus, let me say this here, on campus, we were doing church. I was a student at the University of Lagos. We were filling up auditorium. And we invite great men of God. One day in the University of Lagos, we packed the entire place. We sent about 1,000 people back. When I started church, people told me, said, listen to me. We know you're going to be great in a matter of months. I was there preaching 7 years. The church wasn't growing. One of my people that got me saved came to meet me in the church one day. He said, how long have you been doing this? I said, 7 years. He looked around. He said, shut this church down. Covenant Nation today. He said, shut it down. He said, you are not called to pastor. He said, you're a teacher. Just be teaching around. I was almost near shutting it down because this was somebody I respected. But let me tell you what will happen. When I finished preaching and I'm cast down, that was going on. One day, somebody knocked on the door. One of the ushers came and said, pastor, there's something. You know, I said, what's it? He said, follow me. I can't handle this myself. We got outside. There was a lady. She said, I heard you preach. She said, I was so blessed last week. I'm in this church, but I've decided I'm going to start coming. She told me this. She just opened her boot. See cash. You know, when you are cast down, but you know. Are you following what I'm saying here? But you know, you are not what? Forsaken. Do you get what I'm saying here? When you sleep and think, you won't wake up, but somehow you woke up. You understand what I'm saying here? You are persecuted, but not what? Forsaken. Cast down, but not what? Destroyed. You have given up in your head, but not your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It says, when you are in that state, where you are confessing, you've been confessing God's word, and you said, it looks like this thing is not working for me. And you are down. He said, this is what you should do. He said, come up to the throne of grace. Put Hebrews 4:16, the next step. He said, come up. He said, I'm touched by your feelings of your infirmity. Infirmity means your inability to produce results. You have done everything you know to do, but it's not working. He said, this is what you should do. Come up to the throne of grace. That word grace there in Greek is gratitude. Come up with thanksgiving. He says that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. That time of need means God is time sensitive. He knows you have a time of need. Do you get what I'm saying here? He knows that thing has to be met in a season. He said, so come up. Now, this is what we don't do. To the throne of grace. Come up with gratitude. Which means that if you have been confessing something, and this is where I was missing it. All right? I will get cast down. God will encourage me, but I didn't get the connection. Sometimes I will hear his voice. Come up hither. Come up hither. Come up hither. I wasn't getting what he was saying. Come up hither. In fact, he gave me a prophetic scripture. I saw it, but I was waiting for the scripture to come to pass. All right? He says, come up to the throne of grace. Now, what he's telling you is, come up there. You know, the Bible says, part of what it says, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Whom he has done what? Redeemed. So he has redeemed you, but he says, you have to see it. So he says, come up. So it's like somebody, let's just take this, wants to build something. And suddenly they've calculated it will cost 100 million. And then the naira crashes. And then looks at you and says 500 million and says, I don't have the money. He says, at that point, come to the throne of grace. That you may obtain what? Mercy. And find grace to do what? Help you in that time of need. Which means, come up and thank me that the house is complete. Do you get what I'm saying here? Listen to what I'm saying. That when they tell you that there's an ailment to your body, come and thank me then. That from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, he said, you will obtain mercy. Are you following me saying here? Come up at that point to the throne of grace and come there with gratitude, all right, to God, thanking him as though it was done. Folks, it has never, in all of my life in ministry, this one has never failed to work. If you hit any disappointment, that, you know, and this is how things operate too. You can be believing God for a job. So, look, let me tell you this. That's why premature testimony sometimes. When people are testifying, I say, wait, let it be complete. Because you may say, and then they invited you for the final interview. And when you got there, I know Christians, you can move with sight without knowing. And you met the, can you imagine? You come back. The guy who is to decide who will get the job, he was the older brother of my friend in school. You see how God moves. Can you remember so-and-so? Yes. He's the one. Are you serious? What happened? He smiled and said, well done. Are you from saying here? Next thing you put on the mail and say, we are sorry. Your application, please don't call us unless we call you. Listen, at that point of disappointment, come up to the throne of grace. It has never failed. If you thank God as though you got that thing, something bigger will come effortlessly your way. If you kneel and worship God and praise Him as though you got that thing, I'm telling you that something bigger will come your way. Because that conviction you had in your heart was dropped by the Spirit. Is your interpretation that is wrong? You interpreted it as this, and it may not be that. So it says, come up. Now, let me show you this thing here. Jesus told us, when they went to meet Jesus, they said, Jesus, show us a sign. Jesus said, look, there is no sign I will show you. Apart from Jonah. He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and nights, he said, so shall the Son of Man be. So when I saw it, I said, God, the secret to the resurrection of Jesus must be in that book. Because he said, as Jonah, so. So I went there. What did Jonah teach as the secret? In Jonah chapter 2 and verse 7, Jonah said, he said this, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. Then he said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their mercy. God never forsakes. We are the ones that forsake the mercy he has prepared. And how do we forsake it? By observing lying vanities. In other words, you look around and say, it looks like this thing. Do you get what I'm saying here? Look at Isaiah chapter 49 verse 13. God said, sing. He says, break forth, Isaiah 49, 13. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have what? Mercy. Which means this is how you get that mercy. He says, sing. He said, but Zion said, look at the next verse. The Lord has what? Forsaken me. The Lord didn't forsake. You forsake that mercy. God said, I have forgotten me. God said, okay, let me tell you how it is. He said, next verse. He said, can a woman forget her sucking child? Which means, can a woman have a child and say, I forgot that I had a child once? He says, can she forget that she should not have compassion upon the son of her womb? He said, let us stretch it that she forgets. He says, but I, look at the next verse. He says, behold, I've engraven you upon the palms of my hands. Your walls are continuously before me there. He says, thy children shall make it. Which means, if you start rejoicing, he said, the thing will start happening. So he says, I've engraved. That's why in any situation, let me tell you this. Look, we'll get you in the last part here. God is always there. The point we're missing is, we don't know exactly what God wants to do. And what we are expecting to happen is beneath what God has planned. You see, that disappointment, God is trying to lift you and say, look, come up. So, Jonah said in Jonah 2:7, he says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Verse 8, sorry. He says, forsake their own mercy. Then look at what he says next. He says, but I will do what? Sacrifice. With the voice of what? Thanksgiving. In other words, he was in the belly of the whale. He had prayed. And he was still in the belly of the whale, rolling. He said, I get it. If I keep judging God by this circumstance, I'll be here forever. He said, inside the belly of the whale, he said, I'll start thanking God. He said, I will sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I vowed. Salvation belongs to the Lord. The next verse says, and God spoke to the fish, and it vomited. Do you get what I'm saying here? He says, you will find grace to help. What he wants, listen, is thanksgiving before manifestation. I'm saying that you start the confession here. The temptation, the pressure comes. Then he says that everything looks like it's not working. He says, now, thanksgiving. Come up to the throne of thanksgiving that you may obtain mercy and find grace to do what? To help you. Now, the final part is that help. What is this help? To help you in a time of need. Now, you must understand what he's helping you with. If we go to Hebrews 4:15. It says, Hebrews 4:15, for we have a high priest that cannot be what? Touched with the feelings, which means he knows how you feel. He understands the disappointment. He understands, all right, that you went for the visa, you've told everybody, and you heard, we are what? Sorry. It's a terrible thing to hear. Are you following what I'm saying here? And you already see yourself. In fact, as part of your step of faith, you said they should prepare a room for you. They've taken the video of the room, your bed, and you hear, we are sorry. You are not qualified. Say, what? And as you come out of that thing, the bars that are white look black. Do you get what I'm saying here? It says, at that point, come up to the throne of grace. Come up, look. You know, when we were in school, the chap who used to be, he was a vice president of fellowship when we got saved, he was trying to go to America. You know, what you are crying about today, if you follow God, you will laugh. Honestly, you look back and you will laugh. Do you know he was trying to go to America? And back then, you know, this photograph you put on the passport is not the way it is. So when they refuse people visas, so they will change their name. They will put the middle name, and it's not like now that there was one metric, you can't do all of that. So they will change. So even if somebody canceled him, grow a beard, you know, so they won't remember how. This guy wants to be vice president of fellowship. He told me one day, I got convicted on top of America. I'll be changing. He just said, look, I'm not doing it. I went and got a job. Do you know that 10 months after he got that job, the head office of that company in Chicago said, we need this person. He didn't go for an interview. They brought the visa. Are you following what I'm saying here? And from there, he has been going up. He's gotten another. What you are crying about? I can't, and I'll show this here. Look, we're about to get into it now, where I'm going with this message. The children of Israel never prayed to God to leave Egypt. They didn't pray it. What they prayed was, God, deliver us from the pressure that is in Egypt. That's why anytime Moses was going out, they said, we told you not to take us out of this place. Listen to it. Go and read it. Anytime they got in trouble, they said, take us back to Egypt. Did we not tell you? You see, when they cried unto God, the way God interpreted it was in the light of his covenant. But what they were crying was their temporal need. What they were saying, that's why I want to show you that sometimes your prayer is not what God... What they were saying was, God, these people should stop oppressing us. Let them increase our salary. Do you get what I'm saying? Let them let us buy land here. Let us build our own houses. All right? Let them promote us. We become managers, deputy managers. Let them give us their company. So, do you get what I'm saying here? So, what they were praying, it was God that took it and interpreted and said, now, this covenant I've had with Abraham, it's time for its fulfillment. So, I'm trying to tell you that, you know, when Peter toiled all night and caught nothing, look, every disappointment has something eternal in it. He told all night. Do you think Peter in his mind ever conceived from this, I'm going to become apostle thousands of years after? Do you think he ever crossed his mind? That's why he says, let us therefore come. Before this, he says, he talks about help. What help? He's touched by the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like we are. Now, let's see where this help comes. Go to Romans 8, verse 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our what? Infirmities. That's the help that comes. Are you following what I'm saying here? Helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought. What is on God's mind, you don't know it. Listen, what God has planned in that situation, you have no idea. That's why I went to further on. What did he call the infirmity? Your ignorance. And being what? Out of the way. Which means you are ignorant of what God really wants to do. See, our prayer doesn't make God give. Our prayer makes us receive. Because when we were sinners, God commended his love towards us. In that while we were sinners, he gave his only what? Begotten son. We didn't pray for him to give Jesus. We didn't know about salvation when he did it. Understand who God is. He did it without you praying. Then it goes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. And says, put Romans 8, we'll cut back by 8. He says, so he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely? In other words, when he gave us Jesus, with Jesus, he gave us all things. He freely gave you what? All things. So somebody gives you a bag, and every other thing is inside the bag. Now, here's where the issue is. Prayer is not thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. Prayer is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven controls prayer. So why has the Spirit been given to you? Look at 1 Corinthians 2:12. 1 Corinthians 2:12. He says, we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is of God, that we may know those things freely given to us by God. So in every situation, God has something already prepared. Two cannot work together except they be agreed. What is happening is that you are trying to pull what he is not giving. Listen, if you press in prayer, listen to this, press in prayer. And this is where the adulteration of the Word of Faith message came. Because if you press in prayer for what you want, if God looks at it and sees that you are not asking him to sin to get that thing, he can let it go to you. When they asked for a king, God said, look, this king is not my plan. Go and tell them the consequence of what they're asking for. This king will tax them. This king will take their lands. This king will oppress them. And they said, we want a king like other nations. You see, the spirit of the world, if you have that spirit there, a person is operating by that, you want what other people have. Not what God has prepared. This is where the competition comes in stuff. Look, Psalm 106 and verse 13, I believe. Psalm 106 and verse 13. All right. They soon forgot his works and waited not for his counsel. Next verse. They lusted exceeding in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. He gave them their what? Request, but sent leanness to their soul. You will get it, but the soul will be lean. Next verse, he says, they envied, which means you'll be driving the car, but you'll be envious of somebody who has a lesser car because you drove into the place believing that they will respect you because of your car. That person came with a lesser car and everybody's just coming to greet. They left you alone because he is carrying divine influence. Are you following what I'm saying? He's carrying divine honor, having obeyed God. You thought that the car is what commands it. They envied Moses and Aaron, the saint of the Lord, even though they got their own request. So instead of taking what you want to take, go to him and say, what you have provided, I want to receive. You see, what you're calling that disappointment, God is trying to adjust you to his plan. That I have something bigger than you. That's, I always tell people, let God make you an offer. If he makes you an offer today, what you call vision, you say, God works in mysterious way. I didn't know. I didn't know. Somebody broke up with me. You want to die on top of the guy. For what? If God brings his guy, it will wipe away. Listen. Listen. You look. You meant it for evil. You say forgive. You say, look, it's not a question of forgiving. I'm happy you went. I had a friend once back there. She told me, she said, one guy I broke up with her. Said she was hot. Said, what worsened it? She went out one day with her friends. And this guy had his new girlfriend. And he was walking. And walked past her as though he didn't know her. She said, on top of all what I did, that my friends got up. Listen, let's go and fight. She said, say, with him. Say, we'll fight. We'll walk and rob each other. Let's go. She said, calm down. Said she, let's go. 3 years after, she saw the guy. It was the guy that came himself. He said, oh, I heard you got married. She said, yes. The guy said, thank you. Thank God you didn't marry me. Is God that was talking to you? She said, why? He said, I didn't know what was in me. Do you know? My father-in-law came to the house, come and meet me on something. I lifted him up in the air and gave him a body slap. She said, she just saw her father, frail father, being carried off. Said, you don't know what God, your God is faithful. This is the guy telling her that your God is faithful. I'm trying to tell you, you know not what to pray for as you ought. What you are calling disappointment, if you press in. Look, if Joseph was to pray, there is no way he could have prayed himself into what God took him into. No matter what's happening, acknowledge his presence. Acknowledge that he is good and his mercy endureth forever. The key to victory is that nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That is, no matter what happens, you cannot tell me God does not love me. That is the key to victory. It's not that I'm saying I love God. I'm saying God loves me. Which means someone said, they fired me from work. Father, I thank you. You love me, and your mercy endureth forever. In fact, if you read that scripture in ghetto, when it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, what he said they should say is, God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. That's what he said they should say. I think it's Psalm 107, verse 2. He says, God is good, and his mercy. And that's what you are supposed to say. Is that? He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say what? Say so. Look at verse 1. What were they to say? This is what they were saying. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. The next verse says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's what they should say. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, no, I'm giving you a secret. Anytime the glory comes down, the song has been, God is good and his mercy endureth forever. When they surrounded Jehoshaphat and he got victory, what did he sing? God, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Listen, no matter what happens, you tell God, you've engraven upon the palms of my hand, your mercy endureth forever. You know what will end up being? Had the princes of this world known, they won't have crucified the Lord of glory. Your case would be, had we known, we won't have touched this person. Because the truth is, you know not what to pray for as you ought. And we're going somewhere with this here. Look, if Joseph were to pray, how do you start praying? You have to pray, if you're in Potiphar's house, that they will take you to jail. What, will you pray that? Then in jail, the chief butler will come. You have to pray that. Then they must dream. Then you must notice their countenance has gone down. Then you must interpret the dream. You have to pray that. Which means if you are you want to strategize. Then the chief butler must go out. Then Pharaoh must have a dream. That dream must be 14 years. 7 years of... Do you get what I'm saying? Then Pharaoh must tell... You know you can have a dream and not tell the butler. Then tell the butler. Then the butler must remember you because he can forget. He forgot the first time. Then they must call you out. Then you must interpret that dream. And then Pharaoh... You can interpret it and Pharaoh say, go back to jail. He doesn't have to tell you. Do you get what I'm saying here? Understand this. You know not what to pray for as you ought. Because of that, the Spirit maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now, he helps your infirmity. Now, you must get this. Don't miss this, because if you miss, you know, he says, what's that scripture? It says, so shall I be saved from my enemies. It says, there's a way it says, I will pray and praise. I'll call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I. So you have to mix prayer and praise. It has to be mixed. You know why? When it says he helpeth your infirmities, the word help means to take hold together with you against. That means you are already taking hold of it. The Holy Spirit comes to help. You know he's a helper. That means you are trying to do something, then he helps you. Okay? So if I'm preaching here, and somebody runs to this place to carry this monitor, they are not helping me because I didn't indicate I want the monitor lifted. But if I put my hands here and I'm trying to lift the monitor, all right, and then somebody sees that I'm trying to describe, so I'm lifting the monitor, and he runs, he's taking hold together with me against. So you must be involved for the Holy Ghost to move. Are you following what I'm saying here? You must be thanking him for that thing, for him to come and help. You can't be, it's finished, I can't make it. Do you get what I'm saying here? Kyle is gone, we can't, you can't say that. You have to be thanking him, even though you don't know how this thing is going to happen. Then the Holy Ghost comes in prayer to help. And he does it with groanings that cannot be uttered. Put it up, Romans 8:26. He says, he helpeth our infirmities, for we know, Romans 8:26, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, for he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then he says the next verse. He says, and we know that all things work. You see, things start working when the Holy Ghost begins to travel. Do you get what I'm saying here? Working means your lines start falling into pleasant places. But you know, the Bible says, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It is on faith. Not on unbelief. So what I taught first was the faith. Now you are building yourself on your most holy what? Faith. That word build means you are charging it to the point where it becomes an explosive. You are building yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we know, so it goes and says, he helps our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. So that's where the travail of the Spirit comes in. Where you go in and you're just praying in the Spirit. All right? You don't have any prayer point, but you're just praying this thing through. You are just there praying. You pray until you get what is called, you hit the gusher. In other words, you get a release. Excuse me. You get a release. You are travailing. You are pushing. All right? And you get to that point, and it's the Spirit. You see? Because he maketh intercession for us according to the what? To the will of God. It says, make it as your groans that cannot be uttered. Next verse, it says, he that searcheth the earth knoweth what his mind is. He is praying, all right, according to the what? Will of God. Now, the Bible says if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if he hears you, you know that you have those things you desire of him. That's why when you are praying in the Spirit, this is what's happening. And I'll get it. The Holy Ghost is praying the exact thing that God wants to do in that situation. Now, your mind doesn't know it. But the Holy Ghost is praying the exact thing. Understand this. The exact thing. In other words, if you are to meet somebody in the airport, for that thing to happen, the Holy Ghost prays it through. The problem is you don't know. If you knew, you would go to the airport. No, do you understand what I'm saying here? If you knew, now I'm getting into it. If you knew, you would go to the place. See, there was somebody in a church once. The guy was into drama. You know him. Into theater arts. One day he entered tech. Massive tech company. So I asked him, what theater arts to tech? How is it? He said, Pastor, you will not believe what happened. I said, what happened? He said, I went to the airport to go to Abuja. And I sat down. And they moved the flight. Okay, now it was a divine setup. They postponed the flight. He said, then I looked across and I saw a classmate of mine from secondary school. And he was chatting. And I remember the guy talks a lot. And he was talking to me. Ah, I said, this guy mustn't see me. He wear me down with his chat. He said, so as the guy moved, I moved. As the guy moved, he said, they were moving the flight. He said, momentarily I forgot about him. Next thing I just felt a hand on my shoulder. He said, my God! Ah! Shut. He said, yay! He said, the guy started talking. Then after some time, the guy said, wait a minute. I remember you now, you're a good guy. And you're still a good guy. He was a footballer in Europe. He said there's a company there that wants to bring tech to sub-Saharan Africa. They asked me, but he said, you know, you can't trust people. He said, but you're a good guy. I'll connect you to them. Are you willing to be there? He was running away. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm sure while he was praying one time, the Holy Ghost prayed that thing through. But because his mind didn't know what the Spirit prayed, that's why all things do what? Work together. The postponement of the flight worked together. Are you following what I'm saying? But you see, you have to pray that thing until you hit the gusher and get a release. Praying in the Spirit. Nothing can replace it because, listen, you are praying. The Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men. He speaks directly to God. He's speaking secrets. That means he's speaking codes. And the reason why God allowed this way is that Satan mustn't know those codes. Because the Bible says, had the prince of this world known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Listen what I'm saying. Wait, hold it here. If you are going to be somebody who will do big things, it's not just that you can trust God, it's that God can trust you. He gives you information, you don't talk. Jesus was the Son of God. He didn't say it. In fact, it was the demons that wanted to reveal it for a purpose. Son of God, he said, keep quiet. In other words, he kept his identity. You saw that Esther hid her identity until the time. Are you following what I'm saying here? You can't be somebody who sees something you are talking. You understand what I'm saying here? Particularly in these days of social media. Look, don't go and announce what you don't even have. Then you are attacked that you are not even. When you have announced I'm a big person, the demons still thought he's so. Then they fired the bullet of bigness. John the Baptist was in the wilderness until the time of his word showing. You must learn to keep things. You are the kind of person that, when God shows you, say, if we say this thing, the effect this thing is going to have, keep it. Because what you are doing you are speaking codes, mysteries. Now, I want to show you here. God knows what you are saying. Don't you know what you are saying? Now, you know, when you are praying in the Spirit, sometimes you get a release. What the Holy Ghost is telling you is that thing I've been praying about. The point of entry has been established on the earth. It's true. The issue is sometimes we don't cooperate. We meet with things, we get irritated, we say what we shouldn't say. He sends people to us that don't look like what we think they should look. We throw stones at them. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why it says, be hospitable to strangers. Some have entertained angels unawares. I saw somebody that said something here. He said, it's lock, all right? This is a restaurant that is in England, and it's a big restaurant today. In 1966, the guy said he was there with his father, and that it was a tea and cake shop in London, central London. They are from Cyprus. He said they were selling tea and cake. One day, after they finished, the mother cooked for four of them, he and his brother and his father and his mother, to eat. He said one guy just came. He said the guy looked. This is what he said. He said he was tall, smelly. He looked okay. He said he knocked on the gate, and the father said, go and open it. Now, the look of that guy is not the kind of person you even want to hold a conversation with. He opened the door. The guy said, I have 10 shillings, and I want a meal. I don't want tea and cake. He said, the father said, what did he say? 10 shillings. Tell him to come. He said, sit down with us on the table. He collected and told his wife, serve. He will eat with us. He said, they ate. He said, the next day, he came with 30 people. He said, that was the day we changed it from a tea and cake shop to a restaurant. 1966. He said, before they knew what was happening, he was managing major music festival, connected them. The appearance was a man. Do you know how many people we have stoned that God sent? And the reason why God codes it that way is that so that He can keep it for you. Are you following what I'm saying here? You know, look, let me just say this. I almost come to closure. Look, if you're in any situation in life, first calm down. The solution is very close. Don't look far. Ask God to open your ears and your eyes. See, when Abraham sent out Ishmael, in Genesis chapter 21, verse 10, Sarah said, you must send out Ishmael. Abraham, wherever is Abraham, cast out the bondwoman. Now, verse 11. Now, I want you to say, and the thing was very grievous. In other words, Abraham looked, because Ishmael was his son. He was grievous in his eyes. He pained him. Pained him that, Ishmael has to go. He was, so I'm just not sure he liked Ishmael. Grievous in his eyes because of his son. The next verse, he says, and God said, let it not be what? Grievous in thy sight because of the lad. I will make him a great nation. Now, the Bible has described Abraham as being very rich in silver and in gold and cattle. You are sending your first son out that you love, that you are grieving, that you have to send him away. Look at what he gave him when he was going. The next verse. And Abraham rose up in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water. He said, come. One loaf of bread, one bottle of water. Be going. And Ishmael did not see Abraham again until he came back for the funeral. You are sending him out with, he's looking at silver, gold, cattle, and all you give me is a loaf of bread and a bottle of water. And the Bible says they journeyed. Next verse, it says, and when the water was spent, she cast the child under the shrubs. I mean, she took the child and said, look, why? She sat over against him in way of, as a bullshot, for she said, let me not see the what? Death of the child. And she sat against him, lifted up her voice, and wept. Hagar did not pray. Hagar was crying that this boy is about to die. The person that prayed was the boy. Look at the next verse. And God heard the voice of who? She didn't pray. It was, why? Let me tell you what happened. Abraham called Ishmael. Come. I'm about to do something. You see all this silver and gold? Doesn't mean much. There is something that makes us who we are as covenant people. It is eyes that see and ears that hear. I will send you out with a loaf of bread and a bottle of water. When this bottle of water finishes and the loaf of bread finishes, that is the point of your breakthrough. Pray to God. Don't ask him for things. Ask him for eyes that see. He heard the voice of the lad, and the angel called Hagar out of heaven and said, what aileth thee? Which means Hagar was the one in trouble. The boy was calm. What aileth thee? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Look at it. Lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I'll make him a great nation. In other words, what is he telling us? People have closed companies because supply finished. And at that point, God said, lift up the company. I will make it global. Are you following what I'm saying here? Lift up the thing. It says the end. It's not the end. I will make it what? Global. And what did he do? Next verse. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water there. He moved it from bottle to what? Well. Listen, wherever you are, there is always a well of water. It's eyes that do what? See. So he says, you know not what to pray for as you ought. So you begin to pray. Now, God knows what you are praying because you are praying according to his will. The Holy Ghost knows what you are praying. He's the one praying it. Who is searching? Is your spirit. The Bible says the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. Proverbs 20:27. Once you start praying, your spirit is searching. Let me get what the Holy Ghost is saying. If you can get it, you are made. That means the genius of God has entered into you. And he's speaking in codes. They asked Britain, how did you win the World War against Germany? We broke their codes. He says their lines of communication, we broke it. We understood what they wanted to do. We knew they were moving their ships into those areas. I even read it again this afternoon. I wanted to study it again. And Winston Churchill, just to deceive the Germans, sent troops to a particular place. When the Germans were feeling, it looks like they're getting this thing. To deceive them, they sent troops somewhere. So the Germans said they don't have it. Or else they won't send troops to that place. But what they wanted, they knew exactly where their formation was. God can't let Satan know it. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching what? The inward parts of the belly. You know, the Bible says they waited not for the counsel of the Lord. You can't remember the scripture. Psalm 106, I quoted verse 11. He says, they soon forgot his works. Okay, verse 12. All right, verse 13. They soon forgot his works and waited not for his what? Counsel. Which means instead of taking his counsel, they made their own request. Now, counsel in the heart of a man is as what? Deep waters. But a man of understanding will draw it out. Listen. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. Then go to Job 29, verse 2. This is what Job was saying. He said, when he was in trouble, he said, I wish I were in months past in the days when God preserved me. Next verse, he says, when his candle shined upon my what? Head. The spirit of a man is the what? Candle of the Lord. Searching the inward parts of the belly. When his candle shined upon my head. You know, I was preaching about praying in tongues in a church in Lagos, and the woman got up. She said, she's pastor of the church. She said, what you're saying is correct. She said, let me tell you what happened. She said, my son's schooling in Canada. And one day I had a burden, and I started praying in spirit. And I knew it had to do with him. She said, so I called him that there's something. Let's pray. She said, we prayed until we got the release. I said, it's okay, you can go. 2 days after, he was in class. And the lecturer came and wrote an equation on the board. I said, this is going to be 45% of your assessment. In other words, if you don't make this, you have fulfilled this thing. Wrote it, solved the problem. He said, he looked around. Everybody was struggling. He just bowed his head and said, Holy Ghost, what is going on? He said, the Holy Ghost told him, the lecturer made a mistake in what he wrote. There's a minor sign that's supposed to be here. Insert it, then solve the problem. He solved it. He said, have you seen the answer? I said, yes, tell him. He called the lecturer, I said, sir, I said, what? He said, the reason why we're all struggling, they all submitted, is because you are supposed to put a minor sign. You made a mistake. The lecturer, he said the guy was an atheist. He turned around and said, you're a genius. How did you know? He said, the Holy Ghost. I said, leave your Holy Ghost. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the spirit of a man, he says, when his candle shined upon my head, when by his light I walked through darkness. God is not removing the darkness. He's saying, you walk through darkness. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, we did not have to remove the law of gravity for planes to go up. If you asked somebody, why can't planes go up? You say it's because of the law of gravity. That if the law of gravity was not there, everything would go up. Isn't that what we say? But if everything goes up, even you yourself won't be able to stand on the ground. So there's a law of gravity. But you can find a higher law that supersedes it. That's why when Paul was praying, God, take this thing away. God said, I'm not doing that. My grace is sufficient for you. Do you get what I say here? The darkness can be there. Your light will shine and you walk through that darkness. That's what the Holy Ghost wants to create in us. That's why he says, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He says, you have prepared a table before me. He says, you have anointed my head with oil. That means as you're walking through a situation, God pours the Holy Ghost on your mind. It is the Holy Ghost on your head that causes your cup to run over. Sometimes what we Christians are praying is, may I never walk through the valley of shadow. Do you get what I'm saying here? God, this is what finishes us up. God says, if you don't bow to this idol, don't bow like Daniel and his friends. Don't bow. We say, we are not going to bow. The king says, I will throw you into the flames inside our mind. God won't allow them to throw us in the flame. God won't allow. I know my God. You refuse to bow. They carry you and then throw you in the flame. Then you start shouting, God, where are you, God? Then the flame starts burning you. Do you get what I'm saying here? Yeah, throw us in the flame. This is what Daniel said. He said, oh king, we won't be careful to answer you in this matter. If it's between bowing down and death, we will choose death. However, throw us in. Our God is able, that's what we'll say, to deliver through us. we shouldn't be afraid of anything. Because when we enter there, as we start worshiping God, the manifest presence of God comes. Put us anywhere, we'll thank God. Put us anywhere, we'll say he's good and his mercy endureth forever. Throw us into any situation, we will sing. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah? You think that's what that is? We will sing. You thought we were going to cry. We won't cry. We'll say, we thank you for you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Until Satan says, oh boy, God, you say, look, if they send any demon, they will tell Satan, leave that one. No matter what we do, he will say, he's good. His mercy endureth forever. In that way, all we are doing is working for his fortress. Do you get what I'm saying? And that's why when you pray in the spirit, let me stop there, also ask for an interpretation. Not translation. Translation means everything that he said you are translating. Interpretation means you get in a flash what just happened. But praying in the spirit is a very powerful thing. And if you understand it, any burden that comes on you, you will know you are blessed for the Holy Ghost to be placing burdens in your heart. There are some people that don't get burdens because they are not in fellowship. You get a burden. Pray that thing through. Kenneth Hagin spoke about a man. He used to read in the Assemblies of God magazine, Evangel. And this happened in the 50s. And the man came to preach at the convention of Assemblies of God in England. And there was a young lady in the congregation, a woman there. And she got up and said, excuse me, sir, after I finished, during the break, do you have a diary? He said, yeah, I keep a diary. He said, last year on the 27th of March, I may be wrong. This may just be something in my imagination. I want to check it. He said, what? She said, I was praying. I had a heavy burden around 2 p.m. And I stayed in the place of prayer. And I saw somebody that looked exactly like you lying down in Africa dead. And suddenly they had covered him with the white cloth. And suddenly you jumped up and became alive. And that burden was lifted. Is there any way anything happened? He brought out his diary. At that time, it was 4 p.m., I think in Kenya at that time. He was in East Africa then. And he caught, where they said it looks like it was Ebola. He said, and they covered him. He said, suddenly he had gone. It was like a surge of life came, and he got up. The woman picked it up in England. Let me be honest with you. There is nothing that happens that God is not looking for somebody he can place that burden on. What is killing us is cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things. We have all these small, small prayer points that really have very little to do with God's eternal plan for our lives. And we are fixated on those things and don't release our spirit to pick up what is going on in the spirit realm. And so God is trying to summon, but you're telling God, but that job, they didn't give me the job. God says, with one stroke, I can settle all these things. Get into what I have planned and all these things will be settled. So hold fast your confession, give God praise, and enter into the life of praying in the spirit, and you are going to see all things will begin to work together. No matter what happens, even if you have a flat tire, Father, I thank you. Don't get irritated at anything. Are you from, say? Somebody hit your car from behind. Don't shout out. Let me warn you. Father, I do what? Thank you. Because when you do that, all things begin to work. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. I ask by the power of your spirit that you confirm this word in the lives of your people with signs following. And I speak into any situation in your life right now. If you came in here and you experienced some deep disappointment about something you felt you prayed, you fasted about, but it didn't work out the way you thought, I declare into that situation that shortly a massive door will be opened up from what you considered as a temporal setback. And you will see that God was only rearranging things to cause the fullness of his blessing to come to pass in your life. And in that day and hour, you will experience the overwhelming presence of his compassion and love, completeness and wholeness. And the memory of the pain will disappear. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God bless you all.